yeah, thank you for joining me on It Starts Now podcast. I have a question that I need an expert to answer. It's about the Maryland Farm Bill. And if you don't know what that is, then stick around because we're going to chat with Martin Mitchell, the Laurel councilman or the cannabis councilman. We're going to talk to him about what the Farm Bill is, but more importantly, how does it affect the cannabis industry? Now, recently, a company that I used to get my products from, my gummies from, because I have a sleep thing. I enjoy sleeping. And they informed me that since the Maryland Farm Bill happened, that they no longer can send products to me in Maryland. So I didn't know what any of that meant. I didn't know why they couldn't do that. So I wanted to have a deep discussion with someone who I consider an expert on this subject matter about the Farm Bill, the Maryland Farm Bill. And has the FDA reclassified cannabis? Also, I'm traveling soon. Are we allowed, I think I know the answer, but are we allowed to bring THC, CBD products with us when traveling? And I'm not talking about, you know, I'll say it. I'm not talking about weed. I'm talking about like if you need stuff for pain management or if you need something to help you sleep, like I said earlier. Are we allowed to bring that with us? I'm not trying to be Brittany Griner and get caught and put in jail because your girl, you know, I'm not doing any of that. I will just deal with whatever I have to deal with. I just won't sleep. I'll just probably drink a lot of champagne. But anyway, I digress. So we're going to talk with Martin Mitchell about this subject matter and get some answers to a lot of those questions. Because guess what? It starts now. Welcome back to the podcast. As I promised, we have our one expert. He is all things
for me
only. I love this guy, Martin Mitchell. He is known as the cannabis councilman. Welcome back to It Starts Now podcast.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here and happy Friday.
So I got Martin. He was in the middle of a very important meeting. So I am so glad that he was able to take time to record this podcast. And I promised that I was going to not take too much of his time because what he's doing is some really special and really awesome work and Laurel. So I'm going to have him as long as I can so he can get back to all things important. First thing we wanted to talk about is there's a lot of talk about the Maryland Farm Bill and how it relates to the cannabis sector. Can you explain what the impact of this bill will do?
And so, of course, what you're talking about is the hemp industry, you know, being impacted.
Right.
You know, it's important to make sure that the hemp industry, you know, has the ability and continues to thrive. Right. And so the federal government, you know, passed the Farm Bill, you know, under Congress, you know, several years ago. And of course, you know, since then, there've been a lot of cannabis, not necessarily dispensaries, but hemp businesses that have flourished. Right here in Maryland, there's I forget what small town, but one of the mayors and her family actually own a hemp farm. So, like, if you kind of Google, you know, the issue around, you know, hemp businesses being impacted, you know, by recent cannabis legalization for adult use, you know, you could better understand the issue.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, hemp should continue to thrive because one of the things I think I mentioned to you earlier is like, you know, hemp doesn't have, you know, the psychoactive properties that, you know, the THC plant. You
know, right.
Right. Like the hemp plant is a, you know, a cousin plant, you know, to the cannabis THC plant. And, you know, in what I've seen in the state of Maryland, I've seen a lot of people talk about the illicit market and talk about unregulated operators. Mm-hmm. Right? And what that means is, like, for me, there's a lot of people who are upset about these products being sold in gas stations, you know, and other places where they're unregulated.
Right.
But we also, like I talked about, I knew a farm that was very credible, and, you know, they provide hemp for a lot of different things. You know, I also know small business hemp stores, you know, that provide quality product, gets their products tested, you know, so they should not in line also be, you know, considered amongst the rest, you know.
Right.
And the biggest thing you also hear a lot about is that Delta 8, right? Like,
yeah.
So Delta 8 itself can be confusing to some people. You know, Delta 8 is not natural. You know, it's extracted, and then it's, you know, basically put back into the plant. A lot of the potency of the cannabis, which a lot of people don't understand, you know, just comes from burning it, right? Like, that's where burning it, you know, whether you're using a vape, whether you're using, you know, a joint, you know, that's where a lot of the potency comes from. But my problem with the Delta 9 is that it's a synthetic, right? So it's something that is not natural. And so that's where my more so issue with the Delta 9 piece is. And that's what you hear lawmakers flocking to, because you have Delta 9, which can have a little bit of a psychoactive property, and especially, you know, resemble what is of, you know, THC in some regards, especially if they're not a frequent cannabis user.
So I had no idea. I'm going to be that girl. I had no idea. I've been hearing people talking about Delta 8, Delta 9. I had no idea it was a synthetic, number one. Number two, I thought it was just like a strain. So you have explained something to me that I had no idea. I don't know about what I think it's called, Sativa.
Oh, Sativa and Indica's.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the sativa and indicas. Those are just, you know, how the plant is going to make you feel, what properties of the plant, because there's certain strains that are going to make you feel more lethargic than others.
Right.
Strains that you're going to use for pain relief, as opposed to like being a consumed, an educated consumer. There's some plants that you would use in the morning time.
Right.
So energetic. And so, yes. The sativa, and then you have the hybrid, which a lot of strains are nowadays. They're more hybrids than, you know, just a sativa or indica.
So if I'm going into my hemp store or my local dispensary, and I'm telling them, and I got these questions from someone, some older people, I have issues with arthritis. I have issues with pain management. What do I tell that person? Is everyone knowledgeable like you that can gear me to what strain or what type of products I need in my life?
I do consider myself a, you know, a cannabis enthusiast. You know, as you said, they call me the cannabis councilman because I've been a long time medical patient and a cannabis advocate. You know, of course, one of my fondest moments was making sure we had responsible adult use here in the state of Maryland. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I pushed for was, of course, you know, decarceration of nonviolent cannabis prisoners. But outside of that, making sure we maintain the education, but like the same as we did in the medical market.
Right.
Because I'll be honest with you, I was a recreational or therapeutic consumer, you know, well mm-hmm. before being a medical patient. And one of the things I realized was after, you know, being a medical patient, I then asked myself the question is like, you know, why am I consuming? For what reasons? And like, you know, what is going to give me the best feeling, the best impact? You know, and I would say that people at the dispensaries, you know, some of the patient care specialists, some of them are more educated and knowledgeable than me. You know what I mean? Mm. You're going to meet some great people in there. And, you know, I know people like outside of the dispensary that do great work. Like Matt Dawson, you know, I'll give him a shout out. He's a good friend of mine. And he basically signed several people up and still signing people up for their medical cannabis card. And then, you know, once you sign up for your medical cannabis card, you have more products available to you.
Or,
you know, you're not getting taxed, right?
Right.
Consumer, you're paying a tax. So, you know, essentially it's going to be cheaper. And then there's just more of an education focus, you know, around it. Like learning about terpenes, because terpenes is something that, you know, I had no clue what terpenes really were prior to becoming a medical patient. But now I realize that there's terpenes in everything in nature. Like mangoes have the myrcene terpene, right? And, you know, pine trees have pinene terpene. But you know that certain terpenes are going to make you feel a certain type of way. So I know for me, I'm like, okay, I don't like pinene. Because pinene makes me feel more anxious, you know. It's like, oh, I approve of limonene because limonene is more of an energetic one, and limonene can be found in lemons and limes.
Oh, wow.
So it all makes sense that terpenes are in nature, and it's better to understand terpenes. I mean, because at the end of the day, if you think about the CBD, the THC, you know, those are all cannabinoids. You know, our body, you know, responds, you know, crazy well to cannabinoids, essentially, right? And so that's one of the things that you know, we should just kind of realize
that. I don't think a lot of people know this, Martin. I honestly think that a lot of people, when they're going to their dispensary, they want to feel a certain way, and I think most people just want to feel relaxed, or probably some people, I'm sure, and yours truly, that they want to get something that makes them go to sleep or get a good night's sleep. And then there are other people, and there are a lot of people that are looking for the use of hemp products for pain management, because no one wants to continue to take Oxy or whatever the other meds are. So you giving me this education is amazing. And yeah, I just want people to know, who do they talk to when they say, Martin, can you tell me what I need to get? Because I'm having some major arthritic pain. Who do we go to?
I mean, to be honest with you, I use my personal network. So, like, Mac is somebody I personally refer people to. Like, just last week, there was a senior citizen in one of the buildings by me. And, you know, she's experimented for years and been a user. But, like, she was, like, you know, just kind of told me she wanted to become a medical patient. She wanted to become more informed. She, you know, wanted to work on certain ailments. And one of the things that, you know, I taught her, and I'm sure a lot of people would learn in their journey, is that, like, there's so much to learn about the plant. And as more research is done, we will learn more research. But she really took the time to realize and learn what CBD was, and how CBD, you know, was different than THCA. But then also how, like, if she used CBD in conjunction with THCA, how she got a more full spectrum. You know, and so that's part of the conversation, too. Like, what is, you know, as a consumer, what is going to give you that full spectrum? You know, and I felt like, you know, there is a great balance sometimes, you know, having THCA flower and having some CBD flower. Because one of the things as a medical patient, I realized is, like, I'm not always chasing the highest THC anymore. I'm looking for what terpenes, what products are going to make me, you know, feel the best. And as you said, it could be some that have a very low THC, you know, and just reminding people, you know, that it's not just about getting high. We're realizing that it's medicine, and it's always been medicine. You know, like, we've been utilizing plants since the dinosaur age, and we're still utilizing them. And so, yes.
So when someone is getting this type of treatment as far as for pain management, and say I want to travel, and I want to travel outside of Maryland, or I want to travel to another country, how am I able to bring, or am I able to bring that product with me, especially if it helps me with my anxiety, my pain management, or whatever? How am I able to bring that? Is TSA going to, you know, Brittany Garner?
I'm not going to advise anybody to do anything, but that's where it gets tricky, right? Like, you have to know what's best for you, but it's also important to understand the laws and the places that you're traveling.
Right.
And so it wasn't just Britney. I think Nicki Minaj got in trouble recently.
Right.
Say. And so, yes, it could happen to anybody. But one of the things I would remind you is that cannabis, even though the position is changing, is still federally illegal. And you should be very much aware of what state you're traveling into, because you might be traveling into a state where, you know, it's still a criminal, criminal offense, right?
I don't think people realize that. I honestly think that they figured that since they bought it from wherever their state is and it was legal there, and they are using it as for a medical reason, that they're able to continue to use that and bring that with them wherever they go. I really don't think people understand that.
Well, no, I mean, it might be something that's not clearly stated all the time,
right?
But yeah, you can't just go everywhere. But there are also ways, you know, to safeguard yourself with smell proof and, you know, things like that. But with that being said, you probably should still look at the cannabis laws prior to traveling there.
Wow.
You know, go to somewhere like the Arab Emirates and
right.
Dubai, where they have a very, you know, strong position against cannabis. You know.
Yeah. So one other question that I had gotten is, since it is legal in a state of Maryland, how far from my residence am I allowed to participate or engage in cannabis products? Can I sit outside my house? Can I walk down the street on my sidewalk? What is my limitations, or are there any limitations?
Those are all great questions that you ask. And I mean, to be fair, those are all conversations that I've tried to push the envelope on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we legalized a plant that should have never been criminalized in the first place. You
absolutely.
Know? You know, so bad prohibition. But we legalized a plant, but then we gave a lot of people nowhere to consume that plant.
Right.
And I had a conversation with, I think it was Prince George's County Cable Television, you know, a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago. But, you know, I said just that, where we legalized a plant, but we gave, you know, people nowhere to consume it, right? Like, you can only consume it at your home, mm-hmm. right, on your property. One of the things that a lot of people realize is, like, there's a lot of renters. And a good majority of Marylanders are renters. And in a lot of those lease agreements, you're not supposed to be consuming, you know, whether it be tobacco or cannabis,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, you know, and to your point, no, you're not just supposed to be, you know, in the public. You know, I'm sure you can get a citation for that, but, you know, you're definitely not supposed to be at the parks and the playgrounds, you know, where people would commonly hang out and do some of that activity sometimes, right? Like,
right.
You definitely don't want to be there because that's where the kids are, for one, but, you know, one of the things I advise governments to consider is, one, safe smoking spaces, whether that be outside, like you see butt huts on college campuses,
mm-hmm.
right? Knowing where, you know, smoking products can be consumed safely and, you know, out of harm from the general public. But then also, you know, the business capacity, right? Where you're looking at one of the things, like, what does cannabis tourism look like in Maryland? You know, are people going to visit Maryland looking for infused restaurants and, you know, cannabis lounges, right? Like, in which we realize that, like, you know, people can responsibly and safely utilize and use cannabis. And how can we model the business after it, right? Because a lot of people travel to D.C. or at one point because, you know, they were very lax and, not only that, but then they had a lot of cannabis industry throughout the district, right? And so,
right.
You know, Maryland, you know, how can we create that opportunity where I might be able to go get a, you know, an infused dessert, right?
Right.
My dinner. And, you know, it's also a niche item for that restaurant, but it also provides tourism, you know, that the restaurant's never had before, clientele that's never had before, you know, exposure. And so, yeah.
So are the laws different in D.C. than it is in Maryland? And because it seems like it's a lot more laxed in D.C. I mean, I see a lot more people just walking. I mean, this is just an observation, but I do see a lot more people just walking around smoking.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I don't think there's I don't think there's much difference, but I think that like how you propose it is different, or how, I'm sorry, how you impose it, right? So like the police are not prosecuting you. They're not, you know what I mean? Similar to Colorado, like, you know, I had seen people walking down the street, and you know, I myself was talking to a police officer, you know, with a joint in my hand. So, but it was just a casual conversation asking about the city and the town, and so, you know, for them it was just like a cigarette,
right?
You know,
okay.
And that's how it was viewed. That's how it should be viewed. But also just, you know, keeping in mind that I'll never say that like, oh, there should be just wild rampant use, right? There should still be responsible adult use, right? Like with anything, you know, we have to be responsible and we should be responsible.
Exactly. Are we treating people who are, I use this term, driving while smoking, are they going to get pulled over? Are they going to be arrested? Or, you know, what's going to happen with that? Because
prior to this law passing, it's very similar. Mm-hmm. So it's still driving under, you know, the influence, right? And so, you know, yes, there's still the danger of, you know, driving while operating a motor vehicle. You know,
right.
One of the things I will say is when we passed legalization, we did pass a law that, you know, removed odor as the sole determinator for probable cause for a search. And so, like, odor alone, you know, cannot give them right to just search your vehicle. There has to be other reasons that lead to probable cause of that search. And that's one of the things that they came back, the opposers, and tried to repeal that last session, because they had passed the year before. And so you have, you know, state's attorneys and certain prosecutors and sheriffs in certain areas that says like, oh, if you remove this takes away one of our tools. You know, well, you have many other tools, and like, you know, soul alone shouldn't be used to further search someone, you know, or their vehicle.
Right.
I mean, you still have to be wary of that. But one of the things I mentioned, if you don't have these spaces and these areas, a lot of these people live in rentals, right? And where are they going to consume? In the car a lot of times.
Right.
Say that they're going to consume while driving, you know what I mean? But it definitely, consumption might definitely take place in the car, given that there's not a lot of safe smoking areas.
Wow. So Martin, what would be the takeaway for you? Like what should we start doing to get better informed with proper use of hemp products, cannabis, whatever? What should we, as consumers, as people who are using, what should we take away from this? What would you tell my audience?
I mean, I would say that I believe that there's something, a benefit from the plant, you know, for everyone, right? Like, I understand that, like, there might be certain levels of apprehension to utilize it, but I would just learn more about, you know, the different ways it could be applied, the different forms it could be used, you know, the difference between hemp and, you know, cannabis, because I've seen people's lives, you know, change, you know, and very much for the better. Like, opioid reduction is one of the biggest things that I've seen, because as we know, continued opioid use can affect your organs and probably will, to some capacity. And so, you know, I really implore people to just learn more about it. You know, you might just even start with getting a massage, you know, CBD oil. Maybe that will be your first experience, like something, you know, very light and simple. And, you know, explore all that Maryland has to offer. There's an organization called Explore Maryland Cannabis that provides not only community opportunities for people to engage with the cannabis space and community, but also job opportunities and partnership opportunities. So I would say definitely continue to check them out and stay vigilant.
And you have an event coming up on June 22nd. I don't know if it's too late for people to sign up or whatever, because I know when I went on the link, it said it was, I think it said it was sold out or something, but
yes,
those are good problems.
Those are good problems, you know.
Those are very good problems.
I didn't want to upgrade to that paid subscription, but as I'm telling people, definitely still walk in. The pre-registration is all filled up. We might be opening up later. You know, I might break down and, you know, have more pre-registrants because, of course, we can stay connected with them.
And I will have that on my social, and I will also have that on the show information in case Martin has some more information or some space available because it filled up quick.
Yes, I mean, so it's Juneteenth coming up this weekend, as we know. You know, celebrating, you know, freedom and celebration here for, you know, amongst Black Americans. One of the things we realize is like in the state of Maryland, we have been really successful in incarcerating, you know, the most Black males, you know, over any other state in the union, you know, between like 18 and 25. Right. And so a good portion of that is making sure that we right the wrongs, and, you know, especially of cannabis criminalization. But also, you know, helping people restore, you know, their record, you know, and themselves.
Right.
A lot of times people are treated like second-class citizens because of, you know, charge that might be on their record. And, you know,
exactly.
This can be criminal. This can be traffic. So, you know, don't think that you can't come get advice. We'll have at least, you know, 5 to 7 attorneys helping with the expungements, you know, giving legal advice. And then also there'll be a bunch of raffles and giveaways, and there'll be a bunch of information, like, you know, nurses and, you know, therapists who are there talking about the different types of cannabis and a bit of cannabis. And so, you know, there'll be a mixed bag of things going on, but for the most part, you know, we're helping people get freedom on paper at the Lowell Library Saturday, the 22nd of June, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
I absolutely love all of that. And I just want to say I am so thankful that you were able to squeeze me in. Martin is doing something amazing. He took his time to he was in an emergency meeting on rent stabilization, which I think is so needed. And I am so happy that you were able to give me a little time. And
yes,
I'm going to have all that information on the on our website, on our Facebook page, our Instagram page. But how can they reach you, Martin, if they can? Can people come and reach you?
Sure, yeah. I'd say definitely, you know, tap in and reach me. We're organizing because the county's trying to pass a permanent rent stabilization bill. Last mentioned on Tuesday. And so, you know, I've been in that fight for 2-3 years since it started in Laurel. I would say that, you know, the rent stabilization is going to continue to be important. Next time, hopefully, we can talk about how the rent is too damn high. You know, as we've heard for many, many years. But
yeah.
I would say reach me on Instagram, Facebook. On Instagram is at Martin for Laurel. You could also check out Facebook, which is Martin Anthony Mitchell. And then on Twitter, it's Martin for Laurel. And, you know, other than that, you know, send me an email, you know, MitchellMartin1549@gmail.com. If you want to partner or you have any specific questions that, you know, couldn't be addressed through the social media.
Absolutely. Martin Mitchell, the cannabis councilman, thank you so much for taking the time to join this program today.
Yes, no problem. Thank you so much, Juanita.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Juanita, and if you enjoyed today's show, like us, love us, and support us. We really do need the support right now because we are in season 2, and we would love to have you support this show. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell anybody that you know would appreciate hearing a show like this. Until then, you take care.